Good day, everybody. Radical Russ here in Aspen, Colorado at the remodeled Gantt Convention Center, Auditorium, whatever it might be. We're up on the second floor now, which has been designated the smoking area, and I happen upon all sorts of really cool people. My good friend Matt is here, Matt Kuman from California. How you doing?
All right, Russ. How are you?
How does it feel being in the free state of Colorado?
It's always great, but we're using the inspiration from Colorado to make big changes in California in 2016.
Yeah, we're here at the Normal Legal Seminar. What are you looking forward to as far as picking up some legal information?
Oh, you know, you come to these events as an attorney, you walk away with all sorts of great tips. I mean, you know, Brenda...
Grantland.
Yeah, Brenda Grantland just made sure that everyone understood that when you got a DEA forfeiture claim, you got to file the claim. You know, you got to file the claim so you can get a court right to go to court. That's really important for people to know.
Yeah, we learned all sorts of things about asset forfeiture, that there doesn't need to even be any drugs involved. They can just think you might have had drugs involved. How much currency all has marijuana and drug residue on it. Do you get a lot of those kind of cases?
Well, I got one right now that I'm working on with David Michael. We had our client was stopped in outside of Reno. He had $140,000 seized from his car, no drugs in the car. And no arrest, just taken.
And so they just assume, since you have so much cash in the car, you're a bad guy.
That's correct. And even he was traveling with that amount of cash, and he hid it under the trunk in the hood because he was concerned about, you know, people stealing his money. So he hid it. And, of course, from their perspective, well, if you hide it, that means you're a criminal.
Because if it was out in the open, they'd also take it.
You know, it's a no-win situation. But we hit them hard. You know, these normal attorneys, we're just fighters. We just hit them. We just come at the government. We never give up. We're relentless. We're like mad dogs. We bite. We hold on. We don't let go until they cry uncle.
All right, Matt Kuman, thanks so much. And if people want to hit you up, you're in the Bay Area, California. You got a website or anything?
Sure, Matt. It's www.mattkumanlaw, MattKumanlaw.com. And call my office, 415-655-7494.
Right on. All right, let's go see anyone else we can go talk to here at this Normal Legal Seminar. This is the first break of the first day. It's a Thursday. And we'll get some snapshot pictures here.
Is anyone allergic to photos? All right.
Yeah, we're all in love with you.
Make sure to get my good side.
Excuse me for interrupting. I got Sean McAllister here. You just did a presentation on what's happening regulatory-wise here in Colorado. What's some of the crazy stuff happening in the free state here?
Well, the best thing happening is all the positive marijuana vibe and sales and good, you know, industry with $700 million in sales and 10,000 employees and 98% occupancy rates of warehouses in Denver and real estate values going through the roof and unemployment, some of the lowest in the nation. I mean, I could go on.
That's beautiful. That's great results. But you were talking in your presentation about attacking the caregivers, stuff about pesticides and testing. What's the status on any of that?
Well, you know, again, we're evolving, and I think caregivers are under attack because the industry sees it as a source of black market. The state sees it as a source of that. I think they ought to, you know, license, at least have some type of in-home occupation, like you can homebrew or do home crafting that you can sell on a small market. You ought to have the right to do that to a certain extent, and then if you get too big, you should have to have a license. So I think it's a dialogue of, you know, how big is too big to do it in your house, and ultimately some of the limits that have been set so far I think are totally illegal, and they need to rethink them. But again, it's part of that dialogue and that evolution. So, you know, caregivers in the long run, I think they should be able to care for as many people as they can, and there just is, you know, going to be appropriate licensing all along the way. But right now the system is a little unregulated, so that's the concerns. But, you know, overall, it's an exciting time in marijuana.
You know, you mentioned Colorado refelonizing the home production of butane hash oil, other solvent hash oils. Oregon, my home state, we passed legalization. It had that in the law. We had it to felonize home production in the law. It seems to be the direction that a lot of these places are going. You mentioned a novel way to address this situation with, you know, setting up companies to do this for people. Can you explain that idea?
Yeah, I mean, right now, what are the options people have. They can do it in their basement with a kit they put together themselves, and some people are very capable of doing that, and I think in the long run they ought to be able to do that and be licensed potentially locally, again, on a small scale level without the kind of heavy regulation the state people face. But no, I mean, the option they have is to do it in their home or to go to a dispensary and get it at $60 to $80 a gram. And they ought to be able to go anywhere to a business and have their hash or their trim or bud process into hash. And, you know, that would really solve the problem. And I think we will get those kind of licenses at some point because it makes a lot of sense. It'll get the, you know, the home butane hash production out of the basement. And that has been dangerous for some people. I have clients who have blown themselves up, and it's dangerous. And, you know, that's why I said I think if a local zoning board wanted to review somebody's ability to do that in their house, they ought to be able to have that on a small scale. But it probably does need to be inspected for safety and, you know, separation from kids. And, again, it's one of these issues that's an evolution. It's why I said this morning, if marijuana could talk, it would say, why do I need all these lawyers?
Because no kidding.
Things are so complicated.
But, Sean, you mentioned your law firm is taking off, and I'm sure people listening to this, if they're in the Colorado, you know, Denver area, they might want to get in touch with you. How can they get in touch with you online?
Sure, yeah. McAllisterLawOffice.com, McAllister, McAllisterLawOffice.com. Also just obtained the rights to CannabisIndustryAttorney.com, so I'm going to be probably separating off some of my criminal defense and dispensary work, but you know, I'm working primarily in Denver, but I have clients that are in New York and going to Jamaica, very exciting thing, some of the international opportunities and edible companies that are going all over the U.S., and just being at the birth of this industry is so exciting to see, you know, billion-dollar brands being made and, you know, dealing with issues like pesticide and these other things, getting quality product on the shelf for consumers. I cannot believe how fortunate we are to be alive in this time.
I know, and I think we're all fortunate in the rest of the states, too, that Colorado's doing such a great job at this and kind of poking holes in all the scaremongering about what would happen if we legalized. So thank you guys so much for doing that.
Thanks, Russ. Great to see you.
Hey, great to see you. Have yourselves a great time.
Can I get a picture of you guys? Is that cool?
And real quick, if I get a steak.
Anything you want with a puff off that.
Right?
We're here with Lauren Maiton. She's, yes, that's the price of the joint. You are moderating today, and what do we have to look forward to after this break? What's coming up?
Okay, after this break is Paul Armentano. Paul is phenomenal. He talks about pharmacology of marijuana and is just such an amazing asset to Normal and to the world of marijuana. He's going to talk about the federal case that just happened and his role in that. He's going to talk about the pharmacology. Stay tuned for Paul. After Paul, we have Stephen Farber. Stephen Farber is from New Mexico. He's awesome, civil and criminal attorney, talking about merging those practices. Really great afternoon ahead.
All right. Well, thanks for inviting us up here to Aspen, Colorado, and for being our moderator for today's events. We appreciate it. It's always a good time here at the Normal Aspen Legal Seminar. We're going to take a much-deserved break here, get off the microphone for a second, and continue with the festivities on the second floor.
Awesome.
I'm Radical Russ. We'll be back right after this.